What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Self-Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And we have a very exciting episode today brought to you by our one and only bride here, Kelsey Cook.
Post-wedding
blues, which I did not even know was a thing, but makes total sense to me.
Yeah. Same. I brought it up on a recent episode, and we want to do a deeper look into it because it does seem to affect quite a lot of people.
Yep.
Quite a lot. You guys know we are doing our 2020 tour. We're so excited. We told you guys last episode that we would be updating you this episode on what the top five U.S. cities are currently, where we have the most listeners. Right now, it's L.A., New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and Seattle/Tacoma.
Wow.
A few close runners up right now are San Francisco/Oakland/San Jose, Dallas and Fort Worth, and Boston.
Okay, so, interesting. Has it changed a little bit since last time?
I think maybe it has.
When you get down to like, the
runners maybe, up?
Yeah. Hmm. So keep spreading the word to your helpster community, you guys, because you can affect if we come see you. We're doing the top five cities next year. We're going to do a little Self-Helpless tour. We're so excited.
Yeah, you have plenty of time to boost it up.
Yes. And shout out real quick to my Seattle Tacoma people that are in the top five. Hell yeah, baby. I'm headlining the Comedy Underground in Seattle September 26th through 29th. So mark that calendar. It's coming up.
Yeah. And we are at 436 patrons on Patreon out of 500, which is our first big goal that we're reaching.
Yes.
At 500, we're going to do a live stream Q&A with you guys exclusively for patrons. And so listen, like, you know, the tough part is if you're 501, 502, you're going to miss it. So better get in now. It gets to 500 because we're going to be scheduling that very soon.
As always, also, please take a quick sec to leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. We're on the charts all the time now, and it's pretty fun.
Pretty great.
And it's because of you guys. Really, it does matter. It's a strange system with iTunes, but just leaving that 1 5-star, just one click.
An algorithm or something?
Yeah, it really, really helps us. So if you got your phone in your hand right now, if you're sitting in front of your computer and you haven't done it yet, it takes 2 seconds. It really helps us a lot. So thank you for those of you who have already done it. You want to kick it off with a quotable?
Yeah, okay. I got one. This is from journalist Mignon McLaughlin. Hopefully that's how you say it.
Great.
A successful marriage requires falling in love many times, always with the same person.
Ah, yes.
Oh, that's
lovely. Quote. Well, I actually said that quote at my cousin's wedding for my speech.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
It's a great one. Yeah, you have to, you got to work on it.
You're keep not gonna, dating them.
Keep dating.
Yeah.
Keep dating.
Exactly.
Keep learning new things about them. Keep putting them in weird situations where you have they have to do new stuff.
That sounds like a weird, sexually compromising, weird thing that you're doing with camp.
It's like, hey, we're going to take a pottery class this weekend. I want to see what you look like making pottery.
Right. That's funny. So the meat of today's episode, like we mentioned, is about post-wedding blues, which is something that I experienced last month after my wedding and I wasn't really prepared for. So maybe you guys can sound off in the Facebook group if you're about to get married, if you are recently married or have been married and went through post-wedding blues, because I think it's something we should talk about more.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it being a thing. I always thought like, oh, I'm sure people are so relieved after the wedding's done.
Right.
You know, I always thought like, oh, I'm sure they're just relaxing and enjoying life.
Well, I think people say that leading up to the wedding.
Yeah.
That's what you hear a lot is people going, I'm just so ready for it to be done.
Right.
I'm just so ready to be done planning this thing. And then it's done. And they're like, oh, where'd you go? Don't leave. Like you miss doing it. So why do people get the post-wedding slump? One of the top things is that you've lost a big conversation starter. Which seems silly, but wow, is that true?
Yeah.
And now we're about a month past our wedding and I'm starting to realize like, okay, so when I run into somebody I haven't seen for a while right now, the first thing they do say is, oh my gosh, congratulations on your wedding. But I'm starting to know, the clock's ticking on this.
Yeah.
Because in another couple months, people probably aren't going to be bringing it up as much.
Yeah.
So
never thought about that.
I didn't either. And it's, you know what? It's like, it's similar to like career stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sure when people were like, congrats on the Tonight Show, like that feels nice for a while. And then after a while you're like, oh, I got to do something else.
Yes.
But you can't get married again.
No.
You can't I mean, you can, but you know.
Yes.
That people will pay less attention if you're like, we just renewed our vows. They're like, cool. Like,
yeah. It is so much pressure. It truly is a lot of pressure. And the conversation starter aspect of that is for a whole year sometimes, maybe longer, depending on how long your engagement is. But like for us, we had a solid year of people being like, so what's going on with the wedding? Where are you guys at? Did you book your photographer yet? And you don't realize it, but it is fun. It is fun to talk about it and kind of always have this go-to thing. Mm. It takes on its own life.
That's so interesting because when I read you've lost a big conversation starter, I imagine it's the bride who is not talking about stuff anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's both ways, but I read that as like, oh, these poor brides, this was their life for a year. And now they have to like maybe find something else that they're passionate about or something.
Yeah.
Which that's a lot. Like if you're one of those people that have thought about your wedding for a long time and you are freaking going hard on Pinterest and that's your jam, like that's not my jam at all. So, but I have friends where it's like, they are so crafty. They are so good at event planning and they've loved every minute of it. And it's like, oh, that's really hard to lose that.
Yeah.
Especially if you enjoyed it so much. And so now it's like, okay, you gotta plan somebody's baby shower now or something to keep that going. But, it's interesting because I feel like out of all my friends, people talk about their weddings at different, like varying degrees. Like, I feel like Kelsey didn't really talk about her wedding very much.
No.
Because.
Really?
I mean, not in a negative way, I feel like towards when it got closer, like, okay, I really got to get some shit going. I have some friends who talked about it from day one until the wedding day, you know, and it's like, that was the majority of the conversation. Nothing is bad or good there. It's just, that's just what it is.
Right.
And so, I think it's everybody gets invested in different ways when it comes to a wedding.
Yeah.
And talking about it at varying degrees.
Yeah. Well, and anything you dream about for a long time.
Yeah.
When it actually happens, it like a lot of times if you've dreamed of something, it's not going to live up to that always.
Yeah.
So I think part of you, there's some letdown of like, was I supposed to feel different? Was this supposed to happen? I mean, Kelsey, you seemed like very happy with your wedding. Afterwards,
I was. Like,
this is what I wanted.
I was. Yeah. Fortunately, things really did go very smoothly overall. Mm-hmm. I've heard, you know, when we had Kira Saltanovich on the podcast, and it was like anything that could go wrong went wrong with her wedding.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it made for a hell of a story afterward. We really only had a, you know, couple minor hiccups, and other than that, it was perfect, really.
Yeah.
Also, you're not like a high maintenance bride. I didn't feel like your expectations were like crazy or anything.
Right.
And I think a lot of girls especially like can have this thing built up in their mind as like a fantasy.
Yes.
And again, we're like comedians, we're performers. We have lots of times where people are going to look at us looking great and it's going to be awesome. And
yeah.
Like some people, that's their one. I think you said this day. Before. Like that's yeah. their one day. You get to be the center of everything.
Well, I think it's just like, yeah, I think especially for people who are not used to talking in front of people or like, yeah, being in that way, it's like this, it's a production in a way. Like that's, I think of it as like, oh, it's like a show in a way, yeah. and then a party. But I think because when I think about my eventual wedding, I'm really cool with just like doing it in a backyard somewhere with no bridal party and just like a very intimate ceremony. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think Cam feels differently. Like he wants the third party venue and he wants the groomsmen and he wants the whole shebang. And I realize I'm wondering if part of that is because I was a performer for so long mm-hmm. and I've kind of had that, I don't know. I feel like I've gotten that fill a little
you
bit.
You got that fix. Yeah.
And so I have to respect them. Like I totally get it. This is like this is a big thing. Yeah. And so yeah, there's definitely going to be compromise there. And I want to give that. Yeah, them, even that's not something I would want.
He wants
personally.
To be a prince.
He does want to be a prince.
Prince.
So I think it's interesting how people approach the wedding planning process.
Absolutely, yeah. Number two, another reason why people get the post-wedding slump is that you've passed by a milestone. Planning for such a big event is a great motivator. You spend months in preparation and it passes by in one day. I absolutely felt this where as soon as it's done, you go, oh my God, I was allotting a certain amount of time every day to this. Now, what do I fill that with? Mm. Like, what was I filling this with before? And I think that's when depression can creep in because it's like too much time with your own thoughts. Mm. Now, and we have such busy lives. So it's not like I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs just thinking about shit. But I was filling pockets with, you know, making centerpieces and sending emails, so much email sending.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize and then it's done and it does feel, you feel sad.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, you're not going to fucking get me post-wedding blues. Like, I'm not going to be this bitch. I'm not going to be the person who lets the wedding take over their life and then consequently feels so empty afterward. And it fucking got me. It crept up and bit me because even though I wasn't the person that was throwing myself into it every single day leaning up to it, you do hit a point a few months as you're getting closer where you're like, oh, we do have to, if we're going to make this look nice when we decide to do the office themed, all of a sudden we are cutting shit till we got carpal tunnel. You know, we're cutting things, we're typing things, we're gluing. I mean, this was like an assembly line in our house was making all of these centerpieces and you can't not get invested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As much as you try not to. Like, I think unless you wake up one morning and you look at your partner and go, hey, you want to go to the courthouse today?
Yeah.
You might miss the post-wedding blues then. But then you might be bummed that you didn't do more. It's like, it's inevitable.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Another reason why people get the post-wedding slump is that you've come back to reality. So wedding doctor and psychologist Jocelyn Charnas says oftentimes we use wedding planning as an excuse to put off other things that might be anxiety provoking, mm-hmm. like going back to school or getting a new job. And when the wedding is over, we're then faced with those things and that can contribute to a sense of disappointment or stress.
Ooh, yeah. That makes sense. I'm sure planning a wedding could be a great escape
from
stuff. Absolutely. It's fun. It's crafting, it's tasting food, it's like whatever. Yes. Even if we get into a little debt, we'll pay it off later. Exactly. And then you're dealing with like maybe the reality of that.
Yeah, well, and it's a very valid excuse. You do have to be putting in this time, effort, and money. And so anything else in your life that you're like, well, I know I should be doing that, but I got to plan the wedding, so guess I can't. Too bad.
Yeah.
But then as soon as it's done, you're like, oh, I don't have an excuse anymore. And now for a year, things have piled up that I've put on the back burner. And that is stressful.
Yeah.
That is stressful for sure.
And another thing that we kind of glossed over, like you spend months in preparation. I mean, planning this like type of event is such a good motivator. Like a lot of people like get on a health kick and they want to go to the gym and they want to look their best. And then it's like,
oh my God, yes.
Once that passes, it's like, what's motivating me now? I'd imagine that's hard too. Yeah. Where it's like, okay, well now I got to plan a vacation that I got to look good for.
Yes. And nothing will feel, at least to me, like that amount of pressure or motivation again, because your wedding, it's like spend all this money on a great photographer and you're in the dress. It's such a great reason to look and feel your best. I mean, we are fortunate that in this business, hopefully we will have other opportunities to wear pretty fancy dresses and stuff like that. But
are we lucky? I don't know.
But, but I get, I mean, especially for like, you know, our listeners who have like a pretty typical 9-to-5, mm-hmm. like the wedding is, that's the time. It's the time to shine. And it's a lot of motivation.
Yeah.
And once that's gone, it is tough.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, man, if I was, I wonder how I would react. I wonder if my eating habits would get a little bit better and I'd start doing some more push-ups.
If you were getting married?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I mean, it really motivated me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And as soon as it was done, went right back to doing what I was doing before. Yeah. I'm trying to not go all the way back to what I was doing, but yeah.
Did the post-wedding blues hit you after your honeymoon?
During my honeymoon.
During your honeymoon. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, and I know we touched on it a little bit in the previous episode, but there are pros and cons to having a honeymoon directly after your wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or giving it a little time, because I don't know if it would have hit me even harder to just come right back home with the cats.
Yeah.
And, you know, the very basic domestic day-to-day duties.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, maybe that's even more depressing. Right. But I did feel a little bummed that I was feeling bummed on my honeymoon.
Right. Because
I'm like,
guilty.
Why did we spend this money if I'm going to be all like lethargic and sad?
You're probably just tired too. I mean,
yeah. I will also tell people, don't plan, if you are going to do your honeymoon right after the wedding, don't plan anything for the first day or two that requires a lot of activity.
Yeah.
Kane and I were sleeping for like 15 hours the first two nights and taking naps.
Oh,
you don't
God.
Realize like what it's actually doing to you physically and mentally until it stops and your body just shuts the fuck down.
Oh, yeah. Man.
So fortunately we had made the first like 4 days of our honeymoon just a relaxing part. We went to Coronado. We stayed in a resort. It was beautiful, but there really, I mean, there wasn't a lot to do. And that was kind of the point of it. And then after 4 days, we did 2 days of Disneyland. So it gave us a little time to like...
That sounds perfect.
Yeah. It was nice. It was a good balance. But I was sad to be sitting in a hotel room feeling the way I felt. Yeah. And also, Kane didn't feel it at all.
Oh, I was just going to ask. I wonder if dudes feel this way.
I've read about dudes feeling that way. But I think it's the dudes who invest more into the planning.
Right.
And typically, that's not the case.
Also, Kane had a wedding before.
Yes, so exactly.
I'm sure that was part of it too.
That's a good point.
Or maybe after his last one, he felt it, but this one he was like, oh, this was like way easier.
Yeah, I think he felt post-wedding blues after the last one for a different reason.
Yeah.
Because he didn't actually want to get married.
Right.
But
when you have that to compare to, you know, when you don't have anything to compare to, you're just going, how am I supposed to feel?
Yes.
So you're going, oh, I'm still not excited. I'm a little tired today. I'm a little sad. Like, is that not what I'm supposed to feel like?
Yeah. So much pressure. So much pressure with all of it. So
I would number four, you're left with the bill.
I'm sorry. That's
that.
Right. Oh, that's
after months of planning,
Jesus God.
And one day of fun. Oh, the financial burden that many people undergo. There's this new thing called wedding debt, apparently.
What?
That people are going into debt for their weddings.
Oh,
yeah,
so
man.
So you're starting off your new lives as a married couple with lots of debt.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to do that.
I'm so glad that we did not. Thank you for catching that last one.
Yeah.
Why people get the post-wedding blues. Left with the bill is, it's insane. It really, like, you do what you can to plan and budget, but especially that last month, things creep up that you were not planning on creeping up. And I am happy to say that we kept it. I don't mind telling our listeners, it ended up coming out at around 13,000. And we had tried for 10.
Yeah.
And it still went good. 3 over.
Yeah.
But that's including like the honeymoon. Because here's the thing.
Oh, that's including the honeymoon?
Yeah,
that's
people don't include the honeymoon cost, but you wouldn't be having a honeymoon if you weren't getting married. And so to me, that's all part of the same cost.
Right, right.
I guess you could technically break it up. I don't know if statistically when you see like what the average wedding cost in 2018 is, if that includes honeymoon, but start to finish about 13,000 for everything, which it's crazy because we don't have that kind of money to just spend on a day. But what happens is it's over the course of a year, you're paying chunks of it and chunks of it with deposits with vendors, and you know, you buy the dress and he does the tux, and then we for sure have some stuff that is on credit cards and we will pay that off. It's not much, thank God we didn't have to put like much on a credit card, but yeah, technically we do have some post-wedding debt.
Yeah. Well, you did pretty good because according to Wedding Wire, the largest study of today's wedding planning journey in the U.S., which is based on the data of over 18,000 newlyweds married in 2018, the average spent on an engagement ring is $5,000.
That's the average?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Insanity. I know. Average spent on ceremony, $29,200.
Oh my gosh.
And average spent on the honeymoon, $4,500.
Wow.
Okay. So that's coming in at basically $35,000.
Yeah,
that's the average. That's middle ground.
Yeah.
40. That's closer to 40 grand.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
Yeah,
you're so right. You have to include the ring cost. Okay,
yeah.
40 grand.
Gosh.
40 grand on average. So we got away with the wedding of our dreams.
Yeah,
didn't cut corners. Didn't like. It was not a fucking, you know, piddly Denny's wedding or something like that, which, you know, if you have your wedding at Denny's, I don't, no shame. Do your thing. Do you have some moons over Miami? I don't give a shit. Do you? But like, we had a beautiful wedding, open bar, double entree meal. Like,
yeah,
we had everything we wanted. 13 grand when the average is 40.
Dude, and average cost of a venue is $9,000 according to this study.
Wow.
And we got ours for 500.
You did. That's very
amazing.
Well.
Yeah.
You did very, very well.
Thank you.
I spent more on flights one way than you did on your venue.
Crazy.
Do you think part of it is like you spend all this money? Yes, it's gradual. It's over the course of a year. But then once you have the day, I'm sure part of it is like, you said this, I remember, like, after the last song played or when they said, like, the last song, you were like, that went by so fast. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure part of it is like, oh, my God, that was, like, no time at all. Like, we spent so much money. We spent so much time. We had so much prep. And now it's just done. It was that fast. It was 7 hours.
It feels like you're on a game show where it's like, how much money can you spend in such a short amount of time? You're just, running through it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I always felt after if you ever helped somebody prepare like Thanksgiving dinner and you like do it for 8 hours and it's gone in 10 minutes. I'm like, why would anybody put themselves through this?
That's a perfect analogy.
Out next time. Can we just go to a restaurant?
That's a perfect analogy.
That is a perfect analogy.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I would also advise any bride, if I could give you one piece of advice, wake up like an hour earlier than you think you need to wake up.
That's good. That's a good call.
Because I thought I gave myself enough time and I did feel rushed as I was doing my makeup. And I really hated that feeling. Like, I didn't want to feel rushed on my wedding day or stressed or like running behind. And if I could go back, even though I would have maybe been a little more tired, it would have been worth it to just have an extra hour, breathe a little bit. There's never enough time, it seems, to get ready on your wedding day. So just give yourself an extra hour, I would say, would be helpful.
Yeah.
And
good.
If you can, I mean, so I know this might be unrealistic, but Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel got married in Italy and they had like, I think it was like a week long celebration or like a 4 day long celebration where they flew their closest friends and family to Italy. And it was, I think, over the course of like 4 to 7 days and nights where they did things all together as a group of friends and family. Fun. And like one of the nights was the wedding. But it's so rare, like we've talked about, to have the closest people in your life together in one location. And I was sad that I didn't get to have more time with everybody.
Right.
So if that's an option for you, you don't have to go to Italy by any stretch of the imagination. But if you are able to do more things, like, you know, there's the rehearsal, that dinner the night before, but I don't know. Yeah. I wish that for the amount of money and time that goes into planning this thing, you would think that it could at least be done over a few days.
Totally. I know a lot of people will do like brunch the next day with anybody who wants to come, or,
yeah,
you know, like some kind of excursion of some kind the next day or activity. But yeah, I think that's like, especially if people are coming in from out of town and you want to,
yeah,
try to see them for the weekend, if you're able to, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I know they do that in some cultures where it's like it's a whole big thing.
Yeah. Cause I'd imagine you're just, you know, you're going around and trying to get your 10 minutes with everybody, you know, saying hi. Yeah. And thanks for coming, and then you got all these other things happening, so
yeah, it would have been nice to have more time with people, but anyway,
yeah,
that's my two cents on
that. Get into the tips.
Let's get into some tips
to soothe wedding blues before the wedding, with guidance from marriage and sex therapist Jane Greer and wedding doctor psychologist Jocelyn Charnas. Take a night off from planning, so remember what it feels like to be a couple without a big event on the horizon. Shift your focus from wedding planning to discussing your expectations of married life. Yeah, talk about life after the wedding. Maybe there's certain things
that's great
to look forward to, or certain things that you should be working out, you know, working through, or whatever it might be.
That's a great idea. Just take a breath
and just forget about it for a night or two. Try premarital counseling is a proactive step in ensuring the future of your relationship. You can discuss goals for your future life together and other issues. Discuss all that good stuff. Jane Greer, the marriage and sex therapist and author of What About Me? Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship, says it equips the couple with the communication skills necessary to be able to problem solve, arrive at compromises, and know how to handle disappointments going forward.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's always a good idea.
We did not do premarital counseling, but I'm still in individual therapy, and he went to individual therapy for
You've been to couples counseling before.
Yeah, we tried once with a woman who was like, she was not a good situation. We could just tell right away, like, neither of us liked her.
Oh, and you guys didn't go to someone else after that?
No, we ended up, this was when I felt like Kane needed to get sober, and he was not thinking that that was what needed to happen. But it wasn't that long after that that we had the whole big talk, like we discussed in a recent episode, where it was like, I really had enough and he was ready to get sober. But that's why we were doing it then. It wasn't like a premarital thing, but I think it's helpful for anybody. I don't really feel like we're in a place right now where we would need it, but maybe down the line, who knows?
I would always do it. I think Cam's point of view is like, we would have to be in, like, something real bad has to be happening.
Something real dire
needs to happen, where I'm like, oh, we should just do it for maintenance.
Just preventative.
Preventative care.
Because once you, as someone who is in it right now, like, once you're in it, oh my gosh, it's hard. But it is helpful. We really like our couples therapist. Like, she's really good.
That's awesome.
But I can't imagine going to somebody who, like, isn't good, and how that would just make everything worse.
I would
shop around
right away. I mean, thankfully both of us didn't like her, because I think that'd be one thing if like the therapist says something to one person and they're like, well, I don't agree with her, and the other person's like, well, but they're telling the truth or something like that, like that would be dicey.
That would be hard.
But fortunately we were both like, oh no, because I think I told her, I was like, I just want to talk about, you know, Kane's drinking. I don't drink very much, so to me it feels like he drinks a lot, and you know, we're both in the room together, and she was like, well, how much do you drink a week, Kane, or a day or something like that? And it was a lot. It used to be a lot. And she was just like, yeah, like boys will be boys, my boyfriend drinks too.
What?
It was just so clearly like, oh, you are not the right person to be talking to about this, because this is serious. Like, and then, you know, turns out later, like, he's an alcoholic. This is a real thing. This is a real problem. And if we had stuck with that woman, who knows where we would have ended up. So that is unfortunate that sometimes you get somebody that gives that bad of advice where it was just like, no, that sounds fine to me. It's like, did you hear how much alcohol I just told you in a week?
Like, not about like the measurement of the bottles. It's like, look, is it causing problems? Then it's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Story, no therapist should ever go, well, you know, my boyfriend, no one gives a shit about your boyfriend.
Yes.
This isn't your therapy session.
Yes.
I asked my therapist about her personal life all the time.
But you ask, that's different.
Do you?
Yeah, I want to know. Like, I want to, like, what would you do in this situation?
Does
like,
she tell you?
Do you have personal experiences that you can help me out with? Yeah, she does.
But
she
you
tells
invite
me stuff.
That.
I do, because for that me, shouldn't. I need to know how real people solve real things for me to apply it to my own life. I can't just have this general statistic of stuff floating in my head. I'm like, look, Emily, we have established that we have certain similarities in our lives. What would you do with this type of, you know, overscheduling yourself? What would you do? She's also a vegetarian, so I've talked to her about like how to navigate, like, you know, the stuff with the veganism stuff, and she's like very open to help me. So I'm like, I love that about it, that I can get a little bit of a personal
That's
thing
great
too. But yeah, that's just kind of
that was bad,
just way
bad
off.
Apple.
And then
okay, picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And the last tip for soothing wedding blues before the wedding, schedule your honeymoon strategically. So Kelsey was talking about this a little bit. Will planning another future trip give you and your loved ones something to look forward to after the wedding? Then wait to take your honeymoon. Alternatively, maybe you need time to decompress and readjust to reality after the big day. Marriage and sex therapist Jane Greer says an immediate honeymoon can insulate couples from crashing into the new or real world quickly. So plan and choose what works best for you both. I think that's excellent advice.
Definitely. And we ended up having a couple family receptions up in Washington State.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Like a few weeks after the wedding. So that was another thing of like, okay, I guess technically we did stretch it out a little bit. But yeah, it's whatever feels right for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then tips for after the wedding on how to soothe wedding blues. If you're still feeling blue after 6 months, seek help. So, you know, post-wedding depression is typically categorized as situational. Situational depression evolves from a big life change and it is fairly common. So, you know, if you are sad immediately afterward or like a month afterward, like don't be too hard on yourself. Like,
so normal.
Yeah, temporary, fine. But if it's like lasting a long time, it might be something else. Like after 6 months, Jane Greer says people who are still feeling depressed should seek help and address what they feel they lost after the wedding as opposed to what they gained. When it manifests itself in a severe way, it's more about some underlying and possibly pre-existing issue, like a clinical mental health issue or a serious underlying problem in the relationship that has to be looked at, Charnas says.
Interesting. Yeah, I can see how there would be a big difference with that. Mine dissipated, I would say, within 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Which is what, when I texted one of my best friends about it, who was married, and she said that was like about the same timeline for her, was a few days. Also, we went to Disneyland, so it's hard to be fucking bummed at Disneyland. Like,
Disneyland's pretty great.
I would recommend that to anybody. If you're looking to shake off some blues,
I've gone
on Space Mountain.
Disneyland so many times. I fucking hate theme parks, though, so that's just
really?
Me.
Oh, that's just not
theme
you.
Parks are my nightmare.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Lines and heat and just, oh, yeah.
I was so excited. So for me, it was like the perfect time to go. But yeah, mine lasted for a few days, and then it balanced out afterward, but... Yeah.
Another tip, find a new goal to look forward to. So look forward to the next stages of life, building or buying your own home, children, personal or career growth, and deepening your relationship as a couple. This is why we started this podcast, because there is always something to be working on yourself. And just focus on those things. Go, okay, great. Now we're married. Now we get to start saving up for that big trip we want to have.
Right.
You know, in a year or two. We get to start, you know, planning when we're going to try to have kids. We get to start looking for a home, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just turn your attention. Or it's like, great, I've been focusing on my wedding for a year. Now I'm going to really hunker down in my career.
Totally.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Or maybe start talking about an anniversary trip.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like what are we going to do for our big 1 year anniversary of being married? And that can give you something new to be planning.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm, you know, if and when it happens, my eventual wedding or whatever, I'm already looking forward to when it's done. I'm sure I won't feel that way when it's actually happening, but I'm really looking forward to this thing that's like not hanging over our head anymore. So we can just get on with our real lives. Like I'm excited to just like save up for trips and like travel with Cam and do all these types of things. And I know that we have like this thing that's just floating in the air.
Right.
And I'm kind of looking forward to like when that's all figured out.
Yeah.
And
but
done
let's
with.
Get married.
You so think we'll that,
know,
but you might just enjoy it. Enjoy
I'll be crying.
It.
I'll be crying to Kelsey the day after my wedding. Be like, ah, it got me too.
Just enjoy it because it is like a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
I'll see you married again, which is also totally fine.
Right.
But yeah. Enjoy it.
I would try my best.
Yeah.
I need a lot of help.
So, yeah, that was our meet.
Some segments. To wrap it up.
Yeah.
That was. I mean, I learned a lot about that one because I just didn't know this was a thing at all.
Yeah,
I wish friends have never talked about it. You know.
Yeah, I wish people prepared you more for it as opposed to me having to Google shit on my honeymoon. And be like, is this normal? Like, you don't want to be dealing with that. Then it would have been nice to have had a little bit more of a heads up.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
All right. Oh, so we got some segments.
Yeah. I have a good shit. I did a comedy club on State in Madison, Wisconsin this last weekend. And we had some helpsters come out. And I was out there after a couple shows. I think like after like two of them. And then the other three I didn't. Because if it's in between shows, I'll have trouble with that sometimes. Because it's just a lot of energy and people. Also, my voice was killing me by the end of the weekend. Because just doing an hour and like really giving it your all is a lot. But when I got to meet people, it was so cool. It was so great. That club is amazing. I had a friend of mine. I had Hunter Hill featuring for me.
Nice.
And so we like, and I'd never been to Madison, and Madison's awesome.
Yeah, it's really
like,
cool.
It's so great. Like Friday, we
college
just
town.
Yeah, yep. We just walked around for like 4 hours. We like got breakfast and then we like walked around and just looked at all the little shops and stuff, had great shows. And the next day they have like an amazing farmer's market on Saturday. So we like went to the farmer's market, and then the biggest water park in America is like an hour away. So we went to the water park for like a few hours.
No way.
It was great. It was
oh
so
my God,
fun.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear you did that.
That is fun. And then Cam's sister Olivia and his mom Kai and her friend I think Alexandra went, and they said it was an incredible show.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cam's taken me to, you know, I've been to Madison and to visit her because she goes to school out there. So yeah,
that's so cool.
Fun stuff, man.
I'm so glad
fun
to hear
stuff.
That. That's awesome.
Segment, Kel?
Yeah. So I have some good shit, I suppose. So last night I did the Goddamn Comedy Jam, which is a show here in LA where comedians go on stage, they perform a comedy set, and then they're joined by a live band on stage, and you get to like live out your fantasy of being a rock star and you get to perform a song. So last night was the 5-year anniversary show. It was this huge, amazing lineup, like Jim Jefferies, Big J Okerson, Adam Ray Brad Williams, all just a bunch of great comics. And the Roxy on Sunset's a pretty like famous institution venue.
Yeah.
Institution. That sounds like a weird venue. It's a great venue. And so I've never done anything like this. I wasn't even in choir growing up. I was in band. I was band geek. Yep. And I've done maybe drunk karaoke a handful, handful of times. But I've never sang into a microphone to people with a band on stage. And I was like, oh shit, I have no idea how this is gonna go. And I know like everybody there knows you're a comic. Nobody expects you to be a good singer. They just like, I think, want to see you having fun and having a good time. But I also came down with a horrible head cold like a week before the show, of course. So I'm sorry too if listening to this episode today, if I sound like weird, my voice sounds weird. But anyway, that added this other layer of like, oh fuck, what if I don't have a voice on stage, or what if I'm like coughing and hacking? So I, 2 days ago, went to a vocal coach. I paid a woman $100 to help me for an hour. Just give me some basics. I'm like, help me not completely eat shit up there. What are some like warm ups? Also, I'm ill. So do you have like tea or lozenges? Like, what can I do to just make this as like okay as possible? And I sang Don't Speak by No Doubt. The vocal coach was Gwen Stefani's backup singer.
Holy shit.
Whoa.
How weird is that?
That's crazy.
She was incredible. Shout out to Vanessa Bryan. Look her up on Instagram if you're in LA and need some vocal help. She's incredible. Her voice is like insane. But anyway, so what was interesting though to take away, aside from just like helping me with singing, is that she was listening to me talk and she goes, so is this how you usually talk? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, okay, so you like, you sit really low. Like you talk from like here. Like she was like motioning to like the bottom of my throat. And she's like, that's putting a lot of wear and tear on your throat. And what's so interesting is that when I'm on the road headlining, by the end of the night, my throat is shot. Like my everything feels really painful and like I have to recover. So she's like, you're a professional speaker. You should be putting more attention into like how you're speaking, your warming, like warm ups for speaking.
Yeah.
So she gave me vocal warm ups that I did before the show last night, but also now I think I will continue to do before actual comedy shows, where like you're supposed to do like lip trill. So like, and like do things that activate your nasal passages. You're supposed to go meow. So like on the drive on the way to the show, if anybody saw me, I was just in the car like meow.
I'll take $100 to tell you to meow like a cat, Kelsey. Come to me next time.
It was fascinating. But not just as like a professional speaker on stage, but for the podcast, I want to have a pleasant speaking voice. And I think sometimes I don't breathe as often. And so then it gets into that vocal fry range where I'm like talking like this, you know what I mean? It gets really low. So
I'm supposed to be like trying to be up here, or like, I mean, cause I feel like my voice is low too. So should I be doing this?
Well, she said that she's like, think about how you talk when you're excited about something, that naturally it like lifts up more and you're more passionate about it. So she's like, maybe just try to bring a little bit more of that. Just be more mindful. If you feel yourself slipping into that like vocal fry territory, you're probably putting a lot of strain on your vocal cords. Mm. So anyway, oh my God. And also I felt like you in the aerial class with you queefing, because at one point she's like, okay, so have you thought about like how you're going to move on stage? And I was like, no. She's like, all right, so we're going to play the song. And we're like in a tiny studio. It's just me and her. She's like, I want you to perform the song for me, but like no singing, just dance movements.
Oh.
And I was like, oh,
but you know what?
It's like my night.
It was.
But watching the Instagram stories, I saw that. I was like, oh, she looks really comfortable.
Well, thanks. I didn't use anything from there because it was because in the like, you can't prepare for a show in front of 200 people in a crowd in a studio space with you and one other person you just met 15 minutes ago, and it's 11 in the morning and you're dead ass sober. Like, it was, I felt so uncomfortable. I felt so embarrassed. But as I was doing it, I was like, this is good for you. It's good for you to like get out of your comfort zone and feel better, to feel a little embarrassed and awkward right now than feel stiff. I just didn't want to be stiff on stage.
Right. Did you do like an air mic when you were dancing around in the studio?
I think she gave me a mic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You were just kind of moving around.
Yeah, but it like,
you should have recorded that.
Her therapy dog was there just like watching me. It was an experience, but I'm so glad I did it, because I think just an hour of like embarrassment in front of her helped me get on stage.
Oh yeah.
Also, I had a double vodka soda, which helped me. But and just be like, this is it. Like you got this one shot to do it. Eminem, we got one shot, baby. And it was, I had so much fun. That's it was the time of my life. It was so much fun.
That's fun. No, I mean, I think that's super valuable information for you guys as far as like,
I want to go to a vocal coach now.
You guys
seriously.
Are public speakers. They also say that about teachers, anybody who does public speaking, anybody who speaks for a living
that
should be
so
really be mindful of that and their vocal cords and not, what are those things? Those like nodes that you can develop on your whatever it's called. All that stuff. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Adele, do you have a quick thing?
Yeah, I have a quick thing. I have a good shit, I guess. You know, a lot of people ask me, like, you know, as a minimalist, like, as far as, like, giving and receiving gifts and stuff, like, how does that work and everything? So my mom just had a birthday recently. Shout out to my mom. And I edited a video for her. So I had her friends and our family send in little video clips saying nice things about her, wishing her a happy birthday, telling them her their favorite memory or story about her.
That's wonderful.
Her best quality, all that stuff. So I edited this video of like funny stories and cute things. And that's what I gave to her along with taking her out to breakfast for her birthday gift. And she loved it. And like my whole family wanted to see it and all that. So if you're just thinking of like outside the box types of ways to, you know, gift something to somebody, I highly recommend that. I think a lot of people, my family liked that idea too and might be using it for some of future gifts.
I'm stealing
and now
that.
We have like, I have this like, quite long video that she always has now that she can look at. And it was a total surprise. I had like certain people from, you know, her high school days and stuff, you know, send me videos. Ooh. And I didn't have to leave my home. That was the easiest part.
And it was free.
That's just wonderful. Took some time.
I love that.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. So that's a good shit.
Good daughter button.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Tay, do you want to plug anything?
I am going to be at the Brea Improv in California, August 30th through September 1st, so this weekend. And then I will be in San Francisco at the Punchline, September 4th through 7th. September 13th and 14th, I am at the Ice House in Pasadena. The 15th, I am doing Cabo in Del Mar. And then the 27th through the 29th, I am at the Funny Bone in Syracuse, New York.
Nice. TetonComedy.com?
Mm-hmm.
Go get tickets, guys. I'm in town this whole week doing local shows. I'm at the Laugh Factory, Westside Comedy Theater. I'm headlining the Rec Room in Huntington Beach on Thursday. And then next like weekend road day that I feel like a lot of helpsters would come to, like I said, is September 26th through 29th at the Comedy Underground in Seattle. So mark your calendars. Get some tickets.
Nice. And I just want to give a shout out to one of my clients. A big shout out to Amanda. She has an incredible web series that's about to come out called Sex Ed Made Easy. And she's going to be providing comprehensive and accessible sex education to everyone from curious teens to sheltered adults. Her episode list coming up is fire. I will be tuning in. It's going to be really incredible stuff. Definitely like kind of in the wheelhouse of, I think, the tone of Self-Helpless. And so go follow her, Sex Ed Made Easy on Instagram so you can stay up to date. And if you're interested in consulting with me, you can message me on Instagram at Delaney Fisher if you'd like, and I'll send you the info.
Sweet. All right. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self-Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self-Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self-Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show, our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, KelseyCook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
And I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram and TTomComedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.